Today, friends, we're going to confront the destructive nature of hypercriticism.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I can assure you, God is not honored by some quote-unquote worship that comes out of false churches that blaspheme his name every single time they gather. He is not honored by music that comes out of false churches that exploit the poor, the sick, the desperate, the widows who preach a false Jesus, a false atonement, and a false gospel. God is not honored when we sing music that comes out of that.
That was Justin Peters speaking specifically about Bethel or churches like Hillsong, saying it's a false gospel, a false Jesus, a false atonement. And every time they gather, they blaspheme Jesus. So if you sing their songs, you're dishonoring God. Is this true? Are we dealing with false churches, false Jesus, false atonement, false gospel? And when groups like Bethel, Hillsong gather together, they are blaspheming Jesus every single time. Or are there dangerous overstatements? Is this the difference between constructive criticism, which is wonderful and life-giving and necessary and important and should be embraced by every believer, the difference between constructive criticism and destructive criticism? Hey, friends, welcome to the broadcast. This is Michael Brown. If you want to weigh in specifically on today's subject, in agreement with me or disagreement, the number to call is 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. Some months back, I said, look, I've reached out every different way. I know how to different critics, sought to interact. I've seen such a lack of ethic in the way they've attacked and misrepresented things that I'm just not going to deal with them for the next period of time. And it's been months, really, since I've said anything about this. But a few things happened, one after the other. Within a few days, different clips were sent to me, some very recent, some going back a few months. And I thought, you know, it's important to deal with this. Now, please hear my heart. I'm not mad at anyone. You'll see quite a few have attacked me personally. I'm not mad at them. I recognize them as brothers in the Lord, despite the fact I believe they're doing a lot of damage, a lot of harm. Whatever good they're doing is being outbalanced by the harm and danger that they're bringing by deceptive, wrong, ugly things that should not be said, that are untrue, that are divisive. And we're going to deal with a number of specifics today. So for the good of the body, for the honor of the Lord, and as an elder in the body, not just a novice coming at this, I want to speak in a constructive and helpful way. Look, we're commanded in Scripture not just to love one another, right, but to speak the truth in love to one another. So I'm all for speaking the truth. Let me say it again. I'm all for constructive criticism. I have whole books with specifics, names, details, where I differ with doctrines, things that are being taught, and I lay out the issues as clearly as I can in the most constructive way I can, but confronting falsehood head on. By God's grace, I'll continue to do that. Not that I'm God's corrector in chief or the chief policeman in the body, but we each have our role, and as someone that's called to teach within the church, doctrinal error, practices that are erroneous, these things grieve me as well. But I'm also grieved by the bearing of false witness, by exaggerations and sometimes outright lies that are told about others in the body. What does it say in the Ten Commandments? Exodus chapter 20. What's written in verse 13? So it starts with verse 13, lo tinaf, lo tirtzach, don't murder, lo tinaf, don't commit adultery, lo tignov, don't steal. That's pretty heavy. Murder, adultery, stealing, and then lotanevarecha et shaker, and don't bear false witness against your neighbor. That's how serious this is in the sight of God. Take a look with me in Proverbs chapter 6. This is really striking. Proverbs chapter 6 that lists the six things that God hates. So let's scroll down to verse 16 in Proverbs chapter 6. And it says this, Sheshena Sane Adonai Vesheva Toivat Nafsho. Six things the Lord hates. Seven are an abomination to him. And then it goes through a haughty bearing, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Pretty heavy stuff. A mind that hatches evil plots. Feet quick to run to do evil. And then Yafiach Kazavim, Eid Shakir. So a lying witness, a false witness. And Umishalech Midanim Bein Achim. And the one who spreads dissension among brothers. My contention is, friends, that destructive criticism, by overstating, by exaggerating, by not giving a full and honest picture, does more harm than it does good. And not only so, it dishonors brothers and sisters in the Lord. Not only so, it dishonors the Lord, and it creates division rather than constructive ways that we can correct error and come together in unity. I was not aware of this conference. I didn't track it as it was happening, but I guess kind of a follow-up to Strange Fire. And Phil Johnson, who I've had on the air, in fact, we'll play a clip from on the air later in the broadcast, and with whom I've had extensive email interaction, he was mentioning me specifically at this conference. Let's go to clip number two.
The sane and sober charismatics actually serve as a gateway drug to draw people into the vortex of charismatic error. Some of them purposely turn a blind eye to the manifest errors of their charismatic brethren while they angrily scold critics who try to point out these dangers to other people. Michael Brown, for example, famously claimed not long ago when someone challenged him on his relationship to NAR leaders, he claimed that the NAR is just a myth and that critics of the NAR are spinning a conspiracy theory.
Well, that's the truth. The NAR, the way the critics present it, is a myth. In December, I met for the first time Bill Johnson's brother. So Bill Johnson, brother-in-law, excuse me, pastor of Bethel Church. I met his brother-in-law who pastors the church in Silicon Valley. And he wanted to talk to me before the service, get to know me. You know, one of his first questions was, he goes, what's NAR? What's this NAR thing? What are they talking about? I've talked to all the alleged top leaders and like, what's NAR? What are they talking about? Yes. Is there something that Peter Wagner dubbed the New Apostolic Reformation? Yes. And did that have specific leaders that worked together with him on that? Yes. No question about it. And for decades and decades, have many of us believed in what we call fivefold ministry, that there are apostles and prophets alive today, but distinct from the biblical apostles and things like that? Yes, it's totally separate. Never heard of NAR as long as I believe that. But what the critics have done, have lumped all different groups, Dominionists, Word of Faith, different things, put them together in NAR. So the way it's described by the critics is a myth that doesn't exist. If you want to talk about specific practices, beliefs, great. We'll talk about it. No problem. Glad to do it. But I'm speaking the truth. And by the way, I'm not angrily scolding the hypercritics and the destructive critics. I'm pointing out error. And the sane and sober charismatics, as Phil Johnson dubs them, are not a gateway drug to error. They are the gateway to the deeper life of the Spirit and the Word that the Bible talks about. All right, Phil Johnson continues.
He does acknowledge that there are serious errors in the charismatic movement, but it's always in the most general way possible. What I mean is he never actually points out any specific cases of fraud or falsehood, and he never names the guilty parties. And that in and of itself might be okay if Dr. Brown had not repeatedly come out forcefully to the defense of some of the charismatic movement's worst charlatans.
Actually, there's not a charlatan in the world that I defend, and God forbid, and I'm not going to defend a crazy practice either. Now, just because someone is going to characterize something a certain way or call someone a charlatan doesn't mean they are a charlatan. But here's the deal. I've written open letter to Joel and Victoria Osteen. Long before I ever wrote an open letter to John MacArthur, I wrote an open letter to Joel and Victoria Osteen about the nature of the gospel that they preached. I wrote an open letter why Creflo is not getting any of my dollars. My book, Hyper Grace, I deal at length with Pastor Joseph Prince and other Hyper Grace teachers in that book. My book, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, came out in 1991, critiquing errors and extremes in the charismatic movement, of which I am a part, of the larger charismatic church. Okay, so I've been addressing errors for years. My book, Playing with Holy Fire, is quite specific. I mean, if we look at the table of contents in Playing with Holy Fire, what am I dealing with? I'm dealing with issues of why are we so gullible? So a whole book on this came out a couple of years ago. Mercenary prophets, superstar leaders, abusive leadership, unaccountable prophecies, sexual immorality, the Pep Talk Prosperity Gospel, Celebrating Doctrinal Deviance, To the Third Heaven and Back in a Flash, Wanting to Be Wise Like the World, and Where Do We Go From Here? I've called out these abuses loudly and clearly for years. Now, there's a time where you name names, like I do in my Hyper Grace book, specifics, individuals, quotes, and there's a time when you don't name names because you're dealing with general practices, issues, or something that's going on in another country where you haven't been able to interact with the leaders involved and things like that. And here, if I ask you, okay, Paul kept writing about the false apostles and warning about the false apostles. What were their names? What were the names of the false apostles? Peter warning about false teachers. What were the names of the false teachers? Okay, many times they're not named in the New Testament. So if you want to criticize me for not always naming names, then criticize Paul and Peter and John and others in the New Testament, or Jude, who warn about certain issues and specific things and teachers generically without naming names specifically. And by the way, John MacArthur, Pastor MacArthur, quoted from my book, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, in a favorable way in his Strange Fire book. So folks know I've been addressing these issues for years. But I'm not going to play to the tune of the hypercritics. Just because you want to raise an extreme practice over here, what does that have to do with me? I'm not the defender of everything in the charismatic church. Come on now. Here, let's think of this for a second. You're a Southern Baptist. So do you think Al Mohler is accountable for every sermon preached in every Southern Baptist church? You got some weirdo Southern Baptist who's, you know, King James only fanatic to the point that he says, you know, burn your Bibles in, you know, if it's not a King James, burn it, or some extremist like that, that Al Mohler's now accountable for that because he's a Southern Baptist leader? No. So just because there's a fringe thing here, I'm not going to react to every fringe thing. If here, I was part of the Brownsville Revival. I stand by what God did in the Brownsville Revival. The fruit remains decades later, the fruit of changed lives, of saved souls, of true disciples, of true converts, of people set free from sin who are now serving God around the world and preaching the gospel to the hurting, to the poor, to the lost, to the dying. And some have been on the mission field now over 20 years since being transformed in the Brownsville Revival. If you have questions about that I was involved with, have at it, by all means. But friends, this idea that you're going to prove your orthodoxy by renouncing every fringe thing that happens somewhere, that is crazy, that's unrelated to Scripture, and it's a complete distraction. So I'm not dancing to the beat of the hypercritics, but I'm going to get really specific when we come back, and you'll be shocked. Trust me, you'll be shocked by what you hear.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I wouldn't do anything in partnership with him. I wouldn't, because I think he is dangerous.
The thing that we should be labeling Michael Brown, the adjective that we should use for Michael Brown, is the dangerous Michael Brown.
Danger. Every time I say it, danger. Every time I say it, danger.
Yeah, let it be. Dangerous to the kingdom of darkness, dangerous to the devices of Satan, dangerous to error, dangerous to falsehood, dangerous to the flesh. Let it be dangerous, Michael Brown. My honor for the Lord. 866-34-TRUTH. Again, I'm not mad at anyone. Anyone that I'm quoting on the air today, I have reached out to them many a time privately, or had dialogue with them by phone, or they have been on the air calling in. And to this day, if any of these brothers that I differ with want to sit down, they may not call me a brother, that's fine, I'm not going to reciprocate, but if they want to sit down face-to-face and have dialogue, interaction, or have a public debate or dialogue, absolutely, with joy. My concern is that those that are trying to correct deception are deceiving others. Those who are caring about truth and purity in the body are defiling with division and false witness, and in the process, rejecting the beautiful, wonderful things that the Holy Spirit is doing in conformity with the Word of God and to the glory of Jesus. That's what grieves me. And I'm calling on people to step higher and do better. And while, honestly, I don't have a lot of hope right now and the hypercritics changing their stance. I'm hoping that those whom they're influencing would learn to dig a little deeper and get the facts. Okay, so last August, series of allegations were published against evangelist Todd Bentley online, page after page on Facebook, and I addressed that in an article. Now, here's Phil Johnson giving your presentation a few months back, which I just saw for the first time when it was sent to me a few days ago. Here he is addressing this and how I handle it. So here he is with notes in front of him. You think he's going to give you a fair representation. So let's listen to what he has to say.
In the wake of these latest revelations about Todd Bentley's moral perversions, Michael Brown wrote this. He says, "I have no comment on the most recent accusations against Todd since I don't know what's false and what's true." And that has routinely been his answer when he's challenged to acknowledge or critique specific cases of charismatic charlatanism.
All right, so you think, wow, that was very telling that I said I can't say either way. That's really shameful. That's a shameful, really dishonest thing that Phil did. Why? Well, let's start here. Let's look at the article that he's quoting from. I'm not wondering, did he read this? Did he see this? Just the article he's quoting from. "When it comes to dealing with scandals, the church must do better than the National Enquirer." All right, so let's read what I said. "The internet is burning up." So this is August 26, 2019. "The internet is burning up with news of yet another scandal in the church, this time with serious accusations against charismatic evangelist Todd Bentley. What is God saying to his people through this current crisis? Regarding Todd's situation, I have no specific comments since, one, I have not supported him being in ministry since his divorce and remarriage in 2008, and I am on public record to that effect." Did Phil tell that to his audience? Did he tell them that I had publicly rejected his ministry since 2008? No, he didn't even give a hint of that. And two, I have no connection of any kind to Todd and his ministry. I also disagreed publicly with the way other leaders handle things in Lakeland where Todd became prominent. And I know that Phil read my book, Authentic Fire, which was a response to Strange Fire. And in that book, specifically, I mentioned Todd Bentley by name. Specifically said that during the Lakeland revival, I journaled that this is an accident waiting to happen. Specifically took issue with major things that happened in the Lakeland revival, and that is in writing years ago. All right? So when it comes to the quote that Phil pulls out, okay, when I said that when it comes to the specifics, I have no comment since I don't know what's false and true, I said, I already rejected his ministry. I've already spoken out against his ministry. I don't believe he should be in ministry. I've said that over 10 years ago, okay? But I said, in this case, I don't know what's false and true, meaning I haven't investigated the accusations. Just because they're accusations, what if they're accusations against Phil Johnson or John MacArthur or somebody else? You don't just believe them because they're out there. Even if I had thought they were credible, I wasn't going to comment on them because I didn't know whether they're false or true. But I'd already rejected his ministry anyway. Phil gives a very, very misleading presentation. But then here's what I keep writing. "But I do know this, and it applies especially to those of us in leadership. God gives us many opportunities to repent in private before allowing us to be exposed publicly." In other words, if this is true, then you better believe that God's been dealing with Todd for years about this. "If we keep sweeping sin under the rug, it will come back to haunt us and to bite us. That's why it's always best to repent quickly, completely, and without excuse, casting ourselves in the mercy of God. He's more than able to forgive and even restore." No question, what Phil did was completely misleading. That is bearing false witness against me, a brother. Why? To paint a picture that goes along with a false narrative. Friends, that's not godly. That's not the spirit of Christ. That's not holy. That's not biblical. It is negative, and it is destructive. Now, the plot thickens, okay? It ended up that I agreed to lead a panel with others who were not going to investigate his ministry practices, whether they liked the way he operated or not, but specifically, were the charges against him true? All right? So at great personal cost, I got involved with this. Other leaders got involved. On my end, it was a tremendously taxing thing with lots of attack from every side, for doing this and taking this on, okay? And I was not on the panel of judges because I had already disqualified Todd. So I just guaranteed that there would be a fair hearing of the evidence. An outside investigator was hired and brought in. He spent over 200 hours doing interviews, investigating charges. And as a result, the five-person panel came down with a very, very strong word against Todd being in ministry. Absolutely disqualified from ministry. And no way he should be back in ministry unless there were years of restoration that took place. And under no circumstances should he ever lead a ministry again. At the same time, the panel of judges recognized that he had been supernaturally gifted by God. Remember, you had Samson, supernaturally gifted, and yet fell into sin. And I hope Todd is right with God or gets right with God and walks with the Lord in humility the rest of his days. I hope that happens. Whether he's ever in ministry or not, I don't know that'll happen. But before Lakeland and when Todd was not well known, people have told me about his love for Jesus. They've said, oh yeah, I knew him back then and things changed dramatically over the years. But they talked about the gifting and healings and miracles that took place in Jesus' name. So what we did, what the panel did, and these were not my words, but the panel's words, very strongly, overwhelmingly disqualified him from ministry. Years it would take of repentance and demonstrating change to come back into ministry and should never lead a ministry again. How does Pulpit and Pen report this? Look at the headline in Pulpit and Pen. All right, what does it say? Dr. Michael Brown says Todd Bentley is supernaturally gifted by God, sees path to restoration. That's blatant deception. First, those weren't my words anyway. That's what the panel said. I simply printed what the panel said. That's number one. Number two, that gives a completely misleading impression of what the panel did. And you got to read through the whole article to even find out more of the reality of things. Friends, this is dishonest. This is deceptive. That's why I just ignore this stuff. A bunch of things happened at the same time. I thought, okay, I'm going to address this and then move on. But this is the type of stuff that we deal with. Here, I'll give you one more example. I'm looking at the clock. All right, tell you what. I'm not going to have time to do that. But I'm going to give you a preview of what's coming. And I want to say this leading up to it. We're going to reference Bethel Church next, all right? Because I have a relationship with Bill Johnson and Chris Vallotton, I spoke at Bethel once. I spent some time with Bill here and there in different meetings. We've emailed each other back and forth. I don't know, maybe 15 emails. Chris and I interact every so often. Because I have a relationship, not close, we don't spend lots of time together, maybe had a couple meals with Chris and maybe one with Bill over the years, okay? But because they're often in the spotlight, and because there's a lot of criticism, if I spot something that concerns me, I'll write to them directly. And then I'll say, okay, what do you think about this? Because I've heard this. And they say, no, that's not what we believe. Okay, or actually, that was said foolishly, and we repudiate that. We don't believe in that. Yeah, one of our leaders said it, but we don't believe in that anymore. All right? So I'm going to do my best to do that. And I've sought to do it with all the hypercritics as well, to reach out privately. All right? But if I see something that's public, for example, there was a statement that went out from a group helping people deal with same-sex attraction at Bethel that was posted on Facebook. It's actually a fine group, and they're seeking to do what's right, and they fully recognize homosexual practice as sin. They have an incredible ministry reaching out to people struggling and helping them find wholeness and transformation in Jesus. There was something posted on Facebook, and it was so wrongly worded that not only did I reach out privately, but I posted an article publicly as well, correcting it, because it was not what they intended to say. It came out wrongly. So I'll do that. That was just last year. I'll do that. But I welcome constructive criticism. I'm not a defender of Bethel. I'm not a leader in Bethel. I have no formal relationship with Bethel. 90% of what's taught, practiced, believed, 95%, I wouldn't know because I'm not there, all right? But Pastor Mike Winger, non-charismatic, but not anti-charismatic, has a video he sent us, a year plus ago. And my assistant Dylan listened to all of it and said, very fair criticism. Fine. By all means, fair, constructive criticism. Bring it on. Discuss it. My ministry, anyone else's ministry. So I welcome that warmly. It's the destructive, deceptive criticism that is so dangerous and divisive. Remember, God hates it when his children stir up and incite dissension. The hypercritics do that all the time. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Danger.
Let us be dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. This is Michael Brown. I'm not mad at Todd Friel. I'm not mad at Justin Peters. I'm not mad at Phil Johnson. I'm not mad at John MacArthur. I'm not mad at Chris, at Pirate Christian Radio. I'm grieved, burdened, but not mad. And